tomorrow, it's on. Like Donkey Kong.
Oh, no way.
Let the games.
Pac-Man faster than I remember.
Begin.
Oh, yeah.
Pixel, rated PG-13, everywhere tomorrow.
Yes, we need just a little more Jesus. Welcome to Glory United Ministries, WGUM. This is Dr. Gregory Scott, and let's have a moment of joy with Erica Campbell. Mary, Mary, a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus. I need. praise. The disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And the Lord took a moment to teach them to be mindful to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's just so beautiful to know that we can call upon the name of the Lord no matter morning, noon, or night. He's never too busy. He never sleeps nor slumbers. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We thank you for this is the day, O God, that you have made, and you told us to rejoice and be glad in it. And although the day may not have brought to me the things that I desired, but I still have to give you thanks. I still must rejoice and be glad in it. Maybe it brought me sorrow. Maybe it brought me rain. And I was looking for the sunshine, but I still must give you thanks. I must give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. God, we thank you right now for this day, another day that the Lord has blessed us to open our eyes and have our activities of our limbs. And in the Lord, we know we move, we live, and we have our being. God, we thank you for touching those that are not feeling well right now in their body. God, we thank you for those that we are able to see and hear, speak with, touch them. Oh, God, we just want to say thank you. God, we thank you on this evening for Sister Tara Scott. You allowed her to go in the hospital for surgery, and you brought her, you kept her a few days and allowed her to come back home to us. God, we just want to tell you thank you for sparing her life. Thank you for the miracle that you gave her, that anytime you go under anesthesia and you come out, it's a miracle by itself. Oh, God, we just want to give you thanks on tonight. Thank you for those that went in for tests today. God, we're believing you for a miracle. We're believing you that you're going to let the doctors have the answer to whatever the problem may be that they were looking for. God, we know that you are our healer. We know that our help comes from you, God. David said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord. God, we're going to our doctors, but we know that our help comes from you, because it's you, God, that give life, and only you can give life, God. And we thank you for the doctor, but we better thank you for you being God all by yourself. We thank you, sweet Jesus. We thank you, God, that by his grace you bought us, saved us far. Oh, God, we just want to say thank you. We thank you that you are our Savior, you are our Lord, and you are our God. We thank you for every listener that may be listening by way of phone or by way of computer or in the archives after we're finished here. God, we thank you for everyone that journeyed with us on the fourth Sunday and on the fourth Wednesday and on every Thursday, God, that you've allowed us. We have been on a little vacation for a few weeks, but God, you have allowed us to get back in place again. And we just want to claim it by the blood of Jesus Christ that we will be able to reach many souls, and that this one will tell that one, and that one will tell this one, and someone will hear about it and let somebody else know. God, we just want to say thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you tonight for life, health, and strength. We thank you for keeping us safe through seen and unseen danger. God, we thank you that we didn't have a heat stroke. Thank you, oh God, that you let the electricity stay on so the air conditioning can run, or the fan. God, we thank you for whatever method we have of being cool, if it's drinking the cold water, thank you for the ice and the refrigerator. Grandma said the ice box. God, we just want to give you thanks tonight. We will be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. It all belongs to you. God, we say thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you, radio listeners. It is another Fourth Wednesday. We are coming live tonight from Southampton, Long Island, New York. And we just have so many things to be grateful for. I spoke with my associate, Dr. Gregory Scott, and I told him I just wanted him to open up, not with our theme song on tonight, which is Daryl Coley's. He's preparing me for something that I can't handle right now. That is our theme, but we can change things from time to time. And I asked him to open up with just a little more Jesus to help us along the way, because things come unexpectedly, and we do need a little more Jesus to help us in the midnight. We need him to help us in the dew. We need him to help us along the way. We thought we had it all together, but we found out that we had Jesus, but we needed just a little bit more of him to help us through our trying times and through whatever the bad news is, whatever the good news is. Sometimes we need Jesus to help us to get through that as well. And I'm just so grateful to be back again on the air with my listeners. A special shout out for South Carolina. I thank God for South Carolina. I think if it had not been for Jesus and my sister Jackie, I think I would have been off of Blog Talk by now, but my sister Jackie sends out text messages to all that she have a telephone number for, reminding them that it is the fourth Wednesday. She sends texts as far as New York to Florida. She sends out text messages reminding family members and friends and whomever she run into on the street. She gets their number and she put it in her phone and she sends the message out to my god brother Johnny over in Maryland. It's just a blessing to know that when I speak to you all after the program is over and they say, I tell you, I enjoyed that. People send my sister text messages back and say, good service tonight. I enjoyed it. It helped me. And she forwards it, the information on to me, and then I tell Dr. Scott about it. It's just a blessing to be able to come to you all and just tell you a little bit about the Jesus that some of you already know about. Nobody can do me like Jesus. Nobody can do me like the Lord. She even sends texts out to Texas and get people in Texas to listen to this hour that we spend on the air. So we're being heard all around, but my sister Jackie plays a big part along with Dr. Gregory Scott and Blog Talk Radio. And we thank you so much for taking the time out when you have television and you have radio, but just to listen to me tell you a little bit more about Jesus. It's an honor, and I truly do thank God for him. I prayed for Sister Tara and asked God to bring her home safe, and when I got the news that she came home, I just began to lift my hands up to God, and I thanked him because I said, prayer still works. Yes, the doctors have their things that they work with, but prayer still works. I want you to say that within yourself. Prayer still works. It doesn't matter if you can't pray a whole long line of words. That is not important to God. If you would just but say, Lord, help me. Lord, have God, I thank you. He knows what's on your heart. And he can take the blessing from there because he knows what's on your heart, which is your mind. God knows before you even go to him. He already knows the situation or the circumstance, but he just likes to feel that you feel that I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee so bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee so bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, every hour of the day I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, for I come to thee. It's not my mother. It's not my father. It's not my sister. It's not my brother, but it's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I was looking for that particular song about 20 minutes ago, and I could not remember it. And Dr. Scott went down the list of our songs, and he said, I haven't gotten to the song. I said, when you call it, I'll know which one it is. And Dr. Scott, that is the song. But that is the song, and it's by John P. Key. It is me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother, huh? Not my Aunt Bessie, not my friend or my brother Albert. It's me. Oh, Lord. Oh, you're going to have to get to the point that we're going to have to stop pointing the finger at this one and that one and start raking in for ourselves, saying, God, it's not the preacher, it's not the teacher, but it's me, oh, Lord. I am standing in the need of prayer. Ah, God, I thank you for bringing it to me in the name of Jesus. I tell you, he will not leave you comfortless. He will not leave us. All we have to do is put our trust in Jesus, and Jesus will make everything all right. Is that all right? Come on, let's give God a hand clap. Wherever you are, just give God a hand clap of praise tonight. I want to go to the Word of God right now, for our time is drawing nigh. And as I was reading the Word of God today, I'm in the New Testament tonight, and I'm in the book of Acts of the Apostles, and we know that that book is a Paul book. I tell you, you can't count people out. I don't care how much hell they may raise. I don't care how much liquor they may drink. I don't care how much dope they may snort. But you cannot count people out. If God has need of them, he knows the time that he wants to bring them in. All you can do is pray for them until God is ready to make the change in their life and put them on the battlefield for him. So stop going around saying his daddy wasn't nothing and he won't be nothing. Stop cursing people with your mouth, because that's not what God said. The Word of God lets us know in the book of Proverbs that there is hope for a living dog better than a dead lion. So let's just thank God tonight. I'm almost finished. I won't use my favorite word as I watched my pastor once bring his sermon, and every few minutes, he said, "I close." And I sat there and I counted at least 15 times that he said, "I close," before he actually closed. But I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to be brief. And I just am so happy to be back on the air live with you all. I have several sermons already in the archives. You can just go online and Google my name, Patricia Benjamin, and it will come up, and you can select whatever you think you'd like to hear. I do have a request that I play, that Dr. Scott will run for you all, the text message. Send God a text message. Prophet Ruby Handy in Texas said, "Woman, I would love to hear that sermon again." So, and if you have a request of a sermon that you've heard and you really enjoyed it, my God brother John Mosley told me last month, I believe it was, he said, "Sis, I'm telling you, when I heard you preaching that Red Sea," he said, "oh my God, what a message, what a message." So I have messages that you all, some of you haven't even heard, and I can play them. But those that you have heard and you would like to hear them again because you're not able to use your computer, we can put it on. Just let us know, and we will give us what you think the title is, and we will find it, and we will play that sermon for you. I want to give a special shout out to my cousin Sharon in Florida. Let's go to the Word of God. I don't know how many times I've said that, but don't count, please. Because I might say it 3 or 4 times before I get there. Because, see, my steps are ordered by the Lord, and I go by the leading of the Holy Ghost. While I'm talking to you, God is talking to me, and I'm thinking I'm getting ready to read something, and he will drop something else in my spirit, and then I have to come forward with that. So I just don't have a special agenda. All I have is word, and I want the word to come out of me that's in me, and it just might be the word that you need, because I don't know what you need, but God knows the word that you need to hear. So I don't do a program where everything is written out and I read a paper and I can't add to it or take away. No, I have my Bible open. Sometime I can read it, and sometimes God doesn't allow it because he takes the service the way that he wants it to go. But I am getting ready to read this. I know you all know the story of Saul, S-A-U-L. His name was Saul, and he persecuted the saints. He hated the Jewish people. He didn't like Jesus. Don't that sound like someone that you know? They don't really care for Jesus, don't care that much about God. But you see, God is the God of us all, so we can't throw them away. We have to let Jesus do that. He's the one that's in charge of dismissing people, not you. I don't care what a person may look like to you that they may not mount up to be, but you see, you're not the Lord. You don't know what's on the inside of that person, and you don't know what his purpose or her purpose that God put them on this universe. You have nothing to do with that. So mind your own business. The Bible says stop being a busybody meddling in other men's affairs. Stay out of it. Keep your mouth off of people. Just shut up and let God be God, and let him bring forward who he wants to bring forward. Yes, yeah, some said that I wouldn't make it. Some say I wouldn't amount to anything, but I'm glad to say that I am on my way. So there were many times that I was talked about, lied on, and mistreated, and all of those things. But you see, you were not God. God said from the beginning that I would preach his word, and that's what I do now. Oh, bless his name. I'm just so excited. I tell you, every time I get ready to read, I can't read because I'm just excited in Jesus. That's why when I'm in church and I have a program at church or a service at church, I have a reader because my reader can read because I'm excited, and I'll tell them, read this, and they'll read that, and then I'll stop and I'll elaborate on it. But tonight I have to read for myself, and so I need to calm down because I'm excited about Jesus. How about you? So as I was talking about Saul and how he persecuted the people of God, but there came a day when he had an encounter with the Lord, and that's Acts, the ninth chapter. Sometimes in your leisure, just pick up your Bible, put the magazine down. You don't need another recipe. You're not house and garden because you don't have a flower to be worried about. Don't worry about have not, is not, and won't be not, any of those, and pick up the Word of God and just glance through it. You'll find something in there that'll be beneficial for your life. So as we're talking about Paul in the ninth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and I was giving you a little bit of information, and it says in that third verse, follow with me to that third verse, Acts 9, verse 3, in your own time, you read Acts, the ninth chapter in its entirety. It only has 43 verses. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, verse 5, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Sometimes God has to allow adversity to come into our being so that we can be the person that he intends for us to be. And many of us know adversity as being sickness and our children being arrested or our children being murdered. I hate to use that, but these things come many times because God is trying to move you from a place into a purpose, and the purpose that he has for your life. And let's read the Word of God. Lord, I thank you. The seventh verse said, the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. That's like when we're in church, and I'm from a holiness church. I'm Kojic. I'm from the Church of God in Christ. And some people years ago used to think that we were nuts because we were just jumping and just praising God with a loud voice, and people were saying, well, what is this? What manner is this that they can move like this? And I don't see anybody. I don't hear. They're talking to the Lord and say the Lord is talking to them. I don't see the Lord. But right here, these men were speechless, the Bible said. That was with him, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. Now here comes the good part. And he was there three days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. That light was so powerful that struck him down to the ground. It left him without an appetite, and it left him without vision. I'm telling you, I don't want God to have to hit me like that, that I had no vision and I don't want anything to eat. I would not want God to have to do something like this to get my attention. But when God does something like this, he has a plan to deliver you out of what he's taken you through. If you would yield and humble yourself in his presence, what he put you through, he'll bring you through because he's able to do just that. I heard a boy say once that if God brought you to it, he will take you through it. God had brought Saul to it. Now watch God take him through it. Somebody said, well, that's a horrible thing for God to blind him. That's terrible. They don't mind him not eating, but he can't see. What kind of loving God is this that will take a person's sight from him? Well, God needed to get his attention. He wasn't hearing God when the sun was shining. He wasn't seeing God when the rain was coming down. He wasn't feeling God when the wind was blowing. He feared not God. As far as he was concerned, he was God. In fact, he felt like he was greater than God. And God has to show us many times that we are nothing without him. Stop kicking against the prick. Stop fighting God and yield unto him and let him bless you. He's got places he want to get you to, but you've got to be willing to let go and let God have his way in your life. Let's read the book. My time is drawing nigh. Let's read the book. Let's go back to the 9th verse. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. 10th verse said, now there was a disciple at this Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, God visited Ananias in a vision. Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Now you see, Ananias didn't even see the Lord. Neither did Saul. Saul had his sight when the light shone so bright that he had to fall to the ground. But when the Lord spoke, Saul knew that it was him because he said so. If you go back and look at the verse, number 5, and this is what it said. And he said, who are you, Lord? So he knew that the Lord had spoken to him. He knew that the Lord had shined a light that was brighter than any light that he had ever seen. It was bright enough to blind him. Oh, bless God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's go to verse 10 again. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street, call straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Now, look at this. He was a persecutor of the saints, of the Jews. He persecuted them. He had them thrown in prison and beaten and all kind of terrible things he had done to them, and they had done nothing to deserve this. Now, everybody knows that he was a bad man, that nobody wanted no Jews or anything wanted any encounter with that man because he was a threat. He's like the terrorists are to the United States. They are a threat. They will kill us. They will get rid of us at all costs. It doesn't matter to them. So they didn't want any part of Saul. But the Lord showed up to Ananias in a vision. You see, when you're living right, when you are sold out for Christ, and when you're bought with this price, it doesn't matter about about your own life for the moment, because God is able to sustain and to keep you through whatever is going on. The Lord showed up to him in a vision and told him, you got to go down to this house because Saul is there. And but Ananias, being a Jew himself, he said, whoa, God, I don't want this assignment because I'm not ready to die yet. I want to see my grandchildren grown. That's what we say. I want to see my granddaughter grown. I want to see my grand. First you start, I want to see my children grown. Then when that happens, then you say, God, I ain't ready to go. I want to see my grand and my great-grand, and I want to see somebody else to do this and somebody. I'm not ready for the assignment, God. I want to stay right here where I am in this place. I don't want to grow. I don't want to do anything but just stand here and mark time. So Ananias showed the human side of him. He didn't want to go answer the call. The Lord told him, get up and go. Did you understand what the word said? Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street, call straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. The Lord had to let him know that he is not a danger to you anymore. He's not a threat to you anymore. I have shown my light upon him. I have blinded him temporarily so that I could get control of his mind and I could give him a heart of flesh and take out that heart of stone. I could make him brand new. I can do these things, but I had to take his sight before I could fix him the way that I wanted him to be fixed. But don't you worry, Ananias. I'm not sending you into harm's way. This man saw that you fear. He's praying now. He's on my side. He's on the Lord's side. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. I, Jesus, I'm in charge. I'm in control. I got him just where I want him. I put blinders on his eyes. He had no other choice but to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, what would you have to do? Have thy own way, Lord, in my life. Change me, and I shall be changed. God, I thank you for blinding me. Oh, God, I fear Jesus in the house. Hey, God, I fear Jesus in the house. Somebody need to say, blind me, Lord. Blind me, Jesus, so that I can say yes to your will. Woo, God, so that I can say yes to your way. Blind me, Jesus. I don't want to see if I'm going to see against you, God. I don't want to see if I'm going to fight your program, God. Blind me, Jesus. Blind me, Jesus, so that I can live. Oh, God. Hey. God, I feel Jesus in this place. When I say that I feel Jesus in this place, it doesn't mean the building that I'm in. It means my heart, in my body, in my very soul. I feel the presence of God. Many people that have not encountered that light from on high that blind them to their sinful ways. Oh, my God, they tell me, said, when you were singing, I felt goosebumps. When you was preaching, I felt chills running all down my hand. And I felt it down in my feet. But you see, you call it what you think it is. You call it goosebumps or you call it chills. But let me correct you. You feel the anointing of God. Somebody said, I had a lady tell me, said, when you touched me in the prayer line, she said, it felt like I was on fire. That was the fire from God touching your life. He makes a difference than a program preacher. I am not a program preacher. preacher. I am a blood-washed preacher. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born by his spirit. Hey, God, I've been washed in his blood. Hey, Jesus, and he makes the difference in my life. He touched me a long, long time ago, and now I'm made whole. Yes, you will feel like fire when I've opened my mouth. Yes, it's going to feel like chills to you. And yes, it's going to feel like goosebumps, but that is the presence of the Lord in this place where I am, and it's coming from me to you. I house the anointing of God. You should be able to feel it through your telephone as I speak. You should be able to feel it through the archives. You should be able to feel it as you're listening on your computer. You should be able to feel this man called Jesus, the one who Saul had an encounter with on the Damascus Road. Jesus, when he comes into your life has been changed. It's one thing to shake hands with the preacher, but it's another thing to shake hands with the Lord, because when you touch him, he makes a difference in your life. I can shake hands with the preacher. I can shake hands with the preacher all night long, but it don't make a change on the inside of me unless that preacher got Jesus on the inside and he'll work on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Look at the book. Read Acts, the 9th chapter, and see what happened to Saul. Saul was changed so to God, wouldn't even let him keep his name Saul. He gave him a new name, and the name was Paul. I guess he kept it close so that somebody would know that Saul, Paul seems to rhyme. But Saul died on Damascus Road, and God raised up Paul. And Paul got in a hurry and started telling about the goodness of Jesus. He told the Jews, I apologize. I'm sorry for what I put you through. I'm sorry for killing you. I'm sorry for putting you in jail, but I can't see now. I can't see now, but I can see Jesus. I can see Jesus. I can see Jesus, and he made a difference in my life. Come on, let's read the book. I done got excited. I got a few more minutes to go before I close out my sermon here tonight. Hey, God, I feel Jesus in this place. I feel Jesus in this place. You need to pray tonight when we get off the air and say, God, blind me so I can get close to you. Blind me, Jesus, so I can say I need just a little more Jesus. Blind me, Jesus, so I can say I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour of the day. I need thee morning, noon, or night. Blind me, Jesus, blind me, so that you'll change my life and so that I won't work against you. I'll be working for you. Hey, God, you make the difference in my life. Woo! Somebody need to ask God to blind them. Let's read the book. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, God, I feel you. I feel your presence. I don't know how Saul felt when the light shone on him so that he fell to the ground. You can't be in the presence of God and you're wrong and stand flat-footed on your feet. You got to humble yourself before the Lord. Saul fell down and said, Lord, woo! He said, who are you, Lord? He was afraid because he had ran into, oh, by God, he had ran into the king of the Jews. He can't do no more to him because the light is on. Somebody say, the light is on. The light is on. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Let's read the word of God. I got a few more minutes, and I got to close this airline. Oh, Jesus, blind me, Jesus, so that I can be made whole. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we read verse 10. That's where God took off, Ananias, and he said, there, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to street called Straight, bless his name, and inquired at the house of Judas for a man from Tarshish named Saul, for he is praying. You see how God let his people know, hey, Patty is praying now. She ain't in the street. She ain't cussing folk out no more. She ain't running like a chicken with his head cut off. You can go talk to her now. Why? Because she's praying. I changed her. I've shown the light. And she walks in the light. Nana Buckner used to say, walk in the light. Beautiful light. Come, hey, God. Come where the dew drops of mercy. Shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. Jesus is the light of the world. Walk in the light. Beautiful light. I tell you, but for that moment, it didn't seem beautiful to Saul. But oh, when Jesus got through with him, he enjoyed being blind. The Bible said 3 days he was without sight and didn't eat a thing. Look, the boy even went on an instant fast. Check God out. Ain't it bad, y'all? God, look here. God took his sight, and Paul went on an instant fast. My God in heaven, quicker than mashed potatoes, greater than a microwave. Instant, he didn't eat anything. He fasted. Oh, bless his name. Because he knew a change of change had come in his life. He knew that he could no longer be Saul. He knew a change had taken place. Oh, let's read the word of God. All right, verse number 12. And he had seen in a vision a man named, and now look at God. God shows Ananias a vision of Paul. And God shows Paul a vision of Ananias. God bad, he's working these visions. He's working not a division, but the vision. So that there is no mistake that God sent you to me and me to you. But you see, God has to send someone who is ready to do his will. Even though Ananias was a little reluctant when he found out it was Saul that he needed to go down to the street called Straight. Hold up here, God. What you doing to me? I ain't trying to get in no fight with that guy. You know, but you see, God showed him in a vision. Don't worry. He praying now. He can't hurt you now. I blinded him. He's humble now. He got no fight in him now. He don't want anybody else put in jail now. He just wants to find out what I want him to do and do my will now. That's what he wants. He wants to do my will now, not his own will. His own will was to persecute the saints, but it's my will now that he persecute not the saints anymore, but he bless his name. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, I'm so excited about this word of God. Let's go on and read here now. And it says here, and he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. God brought him to it. Oh, bless his name. That's a word for somebody tonight. God has brought you to it. Just know that God will take you through it. He's able to carry you through. God has brought you to this place that you're going through now, whether it be your husband, your wife, your children, your job, even your church, because we go through stuff in our church. But if God has allowed it to be so, then God can fix it. so humble that he had a vision. He had no sight. God, man. He had no sight, but yet he had a vision. Nobody could do that but Jesus. Here you have no sight, but you can see a vision. Oh, God is so real. He's so good. And he's merciful. Oh, look at this. I'm excited, but I must come in. I've got about a few moments left. I want to finish this. And Ananias had to lay hands on Saul, which now is Paul, so that he could get his sight back. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem." Now, Ananias is allowing the enemy to remind him of the wickedness of Paul. He's not looking at the light of heaven has shone on Paul. He's not seeing that God gave him a vision that he was to go there because the man is no harm to you now. He's praying now. But for some reason, he doesn't seem to trust what he heard from the Lord. So therefore, he had to just get fearful. And that's what we do. That's what we do when we're afraid. When we're afraid when God has spoken something, we're not sure whether really is it you, God, because I don't want no encounter with this man. I know what he does to the Jews, and I'm a Jew. But, oh, my God, God told the boy he was praying now. And then he showed Ananias that he could go there. And then he let Saul know, I'm sending help. The very ones that you persecute are the ones that's going to restore your sight. Oh, bless his name. We've got a few more minutes left on the air, and my time is running out. Let's go to verse 14. And he, and there, oh, bless his name. Let's go back to 13. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem." 14, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. See, Ananias is allowing his flesh, but it's a good question. You got to be sure that you know that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. The devil ain't no joke, but you got to know that the Lord is sending you into the wilderness. You got to know that the Lord is sending you in the presence of the enemy. You got to know that if you go in the presence of the enemy, that the Lord is there to undergird you. He will take care of you, and he will let no harm come upon you. Let's read the word of God. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." See, not only will God blind you so that you can be saved and sanctified, but he will then, if you humble yourself, he'll give you his Holy Spirit. Let's read the book. "And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened." I tell you, I have enjoyed this word tonight. I'm stopping at the 19th verse. You get your Bible and read it for yourself, but just know that when God allows these things to happen, it's not to destroy you. It is to strengthen you. It is to make you whole. God don't allow sickness and things to come upon us, and he don't bring us out of it because he's able. But we have to humble ourselves in the presence of God and hear what he wants to tell us while we're going through our valley situation. We've got to be still and know that he is God. We can't figure God out. He's already told us that. But we can say, yes, Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way. Paul demonstrated that, or Saul demonstrated that, by not eating a thing. He emptied out his soul before the Lord, and God saved him and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And Paul did a lot of work for Jesus Christ. We started this broadcast with, I need just a little more Jesus to help me along the way. Well, we need to ask God if it takes blinding me so that I can get what I need from you, Lord. If it takes blinding me so that I can get from a place to a purpose. If it takes blinding me so that I can tell other men, boys, girls, women, children, whatever, that Jesus saves to the utmost. Jesus saves. Lord, blind me so that I can be an instrument used for your glory and for the kingdom and bring in souls unto Jesus, just like Saul up on the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarshish. I am Patty of Southampton. I am out here just like him, telling others that Jesus saved. Come unto Jesus, all you that are labored and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for the yoke is easy and the burden is light. If the burden is heavy, it is not of God. But if it's easy, it can be of God. God wants to bless us tonight. It has been my pleasure to be with you for this hour on this broadcast. I thank you for joining in however way you listen. God has sent people tonight in off the street to hear this message being preached. God, blind my eyes. Dr. Scott, you can title this, Blind Me, Jesus, so that I can do your will. Blind me and change me. Mold me and make me after your will. While I'm waiting, I'm yielded and still. May God get the glory out of your life. Whatever it takes, God, do it so that you can get the glory. And I will reap the benefits. Oh, bless his name. I have dined sufficiently. I could go on, but I'm going to stop here. My hour is up. I'm a few minutes over, but it's all good. It is all good. A special shout out to my sister Jackie and to my South Carolina sister Rita. And I don't want to name names because I'll forget someone. Sister Tara, all of you in South Carolina, all of you in New York that listen, Sister Patty, who's here in Southampton, who listens, and to many of you that listen to this radio broadcast, Glory United Ministry, where I am Pastor Patricia Benjamin. I am doing the work of the Lord. This is my pulpit. This is my church. I am preaching the gospel. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. And we're going to let the devil, whatever he stole, let him keep that, because God's got greater and better for me. Oh, bless his name. Dr. Scott, you can play You Ain't Seen Your Best Days Yet, because the best is yet to come, by Dr. Paul Morton. And we got a little more time after that. Also play that other one that God brought to my remembrance. I already told you what it was. Could you put Paul Morton on right now, Dr. Scott? I'm sending this song out to all my listeners. You ain't seen your best days yet when you give your life to God. Paul saw his best days, even though he suffered for the wrong that he did. But he saw the best days that he could ever imagine when he came over on the Lord's side. My God in heaven, oh, the reward that God had for him. My God, Dr. Scott, I'm finished. Oh, bless his name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, bless the Lord.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best. As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a... My brother, my brother, my brother. What you know, woman?
No! Preparing him for the